Nelson becoming cloudy today, rain developing tomorrow. Westland and Buller, rain by tonight, heavy tomorrow. Fiordland, rain heavy this afternoon, clearing late tomorrow. Canterbury from Christchurch southwards to Southland, high cloud. Occasional rain in Southland tonight and spreading north tomorrow. Chatham Islands, cloudy at times. Our next news and weather's in Midday Report.
Nicola, thank you. Sorry, I was a bit quick off the mark there. My apologies.
That's quite all right.
Midday Report, next news. Thank you. This hour on 9 to noon, Steve McCabe, new technology next. Then Bob Gentle, who has been a pioneer of the sport of disc golf. All will be explained. Frisbees being used in a very interesting way and a very skilled way. Gavin Ellis, about a quarter to midday, will be here with his media comment. Steve, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Catherine.
You are very appropriately, of course, focusing on education-related tech today.
Yes, indeed.
And what's on your mind?
Well, as a teacher, obviously, I've always got an eye on what's going on in the classroom. But this is more about what's going on outside the classroom. This is the way that education is being taken out of conventional learning environments and taking advantage of the internet to get people outside of universities in particular. That's where we're going today is the tertiary sector. We're going to getting tertiary level education to the masses, dare we say.
It's already been happening for quite a long time in various forms, hasn't it? The idea of distance education, but suffice to say, it is galloping apace.
Well, distance education has been going for a long time. I mean, I did my first master's degree was back in the 1990s, and I did it through a British university while living in Japan, and that was remarkably Stone Age. They used to actually send me things on paper in the post, and I mean, I remember having to, when I was trying to order my textbooks, I would send an email to a bookshop in Oxford and they would pull a book off the shelf and stick it in a box and send it to me. This was very, very primitive. Things have changed considerably since then. But what's been offered now is not so much full-on distance learning, where you've got courses being put together that students enrol in and take, and then that leads to a degree. What we've got now is more of an opening of universities' offerings to anybody who wants to study it. The upside is you don't pay for it. The downside is you don't really get anything formal out of it, other than the sheer satisfaction of, I just learned something.
There are some very major and respected institutions now getting involved in this.
Oh, there's some huge players going on, yeah. I mean, it started off, one of the things that really brought this to the public attention was Apple introducing a thing called iTunes U, where the U stands for university, as part of their podcasting system. What was happening was that many universities, and we're talking people like Oxford, Cambridge, MIT, or in this country we've got, say, Waikato, Auckland, Otago are taking part in this. They were putting their lectures online as podcasts. So Apple simply said, right, we'll tell you what, we'll aggregate these, we'll make it easy, we'll set aside a little division of the iTunes store, they'll make it easier for people to find lectures online. And so suddenly now, if you have an interest in, as this is how geeky I can be, I recently downloaded an entire lecture series from Oxford University on quantum mechanics, the entire lecture, and video format, so you can actually see the equations being written on the board by the lecturer. It's all available for download. It's as though you were in the lecture theatre with the teacher.
The difference, you say, is that you're not submitting assignments, having them marked and corrected, and you're not walking out with a qualification at the other end, I presume.
That's the big deal, yeah. I mean, Oxford University didn't know that I was taking this course, so as a result, they didn't give me a degree at the end of it. But what they do is they enable me, as an interested party, to sit in on the lectures. I'm not enrolled in the course. I'm not taking any kind of active participation in it. The other downside to it, of course, is that I don't actually get to interact with the lecturers and professors. I listened to one a while back. It was about the American Civil War. I came up with a fantastically brilliant comment, and I emailed it to the professor. And he
if
wrote
you
back,
say so yourself.
Oh, but it was a work of minor genius. So I emailed it to the professor, and he just wrote back. He said, "Yeah, buy my book."
he would have said that in front of the whole class if he were there, Steve.
Oh, more than likely. But the thing is, you know, in the class, you know, there's people there who are paying for the privilege of interacting with this guy. I'm not. And so I'm not part of his business model.
Is this a threat, though? Is it just a matter of time until people can use these systems to actually do their degrees remotely? And is that going to be a threat to the physical institution of the university?
Well, that's entirely at the discretion of the universities at the moment. We're starting to see the very, very first steps being taken toward this over in Stanford University in the US, where they're doing something very, very interesting, where you can actually, I beg your pardon, not Stanford, MIT, What they've actually started doing now is offering these online courses where it's a structured course which you can take part in. You can study the course. It's computer science. You can study the course online. You can actually interact with the instructor, and at the end of it, you take a test, and they will actually give you an electronic certificate saying, congratulations, you passed this particular course. And I would love to think that maybe one day this might lead to something along the lines of, well, you've passed this course, and this course, congratulations, here's your virtual degree. It's quite possible that we could be seeing the very first steps toward that, and that would be fantastic.
So far, there is some kind of certification that's given in some of these courses?
Well, as I said, basically what they're doing is they're giving electronic certificates. And clearly, that's not even worth the paper it's written on if you're actually looking for a job. There's a lot of satisfaction to be got from it. He said, yeah, I just completed a course in search engine programming or in JavaScript. I just completed this course. And to be at an intro level, that certificate's going to be very, very encouraging. Oh, wow, I did this. I achieved it. It's not going to be something you can take to an employer just yet and say, hey, look, take a look at this. Although there is one college in New York State in the US, a place called Excelsior College, who are starting to make moves toward recognizing some of these courses as a possible alternative to get to building credits through your traditional sitting in a lesson and taking a test. They are starting to explore the idea of actually giving full-on college credit to people who've completed these courses. And it's not, interestingly enough, I looked into this place a bit, it's not a diploma mill where you send them a check and they send you a diploma in return. It's actually a full-on college of New York State University. So it's a respected school that's actually taking steps toward recognising this kind of learning.
And indeed, the gap, as you pointed out, has always been huge between the enrolled and the non-enrolled students. But with technology, is there a need for that gap to remain as big as it's been?
Well, in fact, I'd take it out one step further and say that some universities these days, and certainly some professors, are starting to say that physical presence is no longer the requirement that traditionally it's always used to be. I mean, you know, back in the 80s when I was a student, I would actually have to go and attend a lecture because there was no other way of getting that lecture to me. The internet effectively didn't really exist, certainly at a public level it didn't exist. And so if I wanted to learn something, I walked into a lecture theatre. What's happening these days, and they're referring to this as flipped education, the idea is that the professor prepares a lecture, prepares all the presentation aspect of things ahead of time, puts it online, students can then access that on their own schedule. And that could mean 3 o'clock in the morning if they see fit. It's whenever they feel like it. They then go to class, and the professor can then spend his time engaging on what the students then want to learn out of that, what issues they're having, how they want to develop those ideas, as opposed to using the lesson time for the presentation of content, which tends to be a very passive and one-way experience for the students. This is particularly being worked by a guy whose name is, now I've lost his name now, there's a fellow who was a professor at Stanford University and has now gone off and he's found...
Oh, is this Sebastian Thrunt?
There, thank you very much. There you go. You've got my notes in front of me there.
No, I just pulled it out of my memory. But anyway, carry on.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
No, I have your notes. Carry on.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, this guy has been working on this concept. We're calling it flipped education. And what he was finding when he was at Stanford was that he would... to begin with, be teaching 200 to 300 students enrolled in a class, and they'd all show up in the lecture theatre, and he'd stand at the front, and he'd lecture, and he'd drone on, as lecturers are wont to do. And there wasn't a whole lot of engagement going on. What he was discovering was that once they started using this online presentation approach, he was getting attendance in lectures down to 20 or 30 students. Students were still getting the same lecture experience, but they're getting it online, on their own time, when suited them best. But then the ones who wanted to take the next step and learn more about how to apply that knowledge, they were the ones who were coming for the enrichment experience in the lecture theatre.
Is there any way of knowing whether it is as good an education? Because if it is, it's surely going to have many attractions for students in some ways and potentially big implications for those universities and their masses of infrastructure and the costs attached.
Well, obviously, I mean, at this point, it's kind of early days to say, yeah, this is a very, very new phenomenon. your man Sebastian Thrun has just founded an organisation called Udacity. He's taken off from Stanford and he's working with this now. And that's only been going for less than a year. So it's kind of early to say. And the work he was doing at Stanford was still not very, very well established. It's beginning. And it's starting off primarily within computer science departments, because that's where you've got the instructors who have got that kind of mindset and see the potential for this. It's going to have to be, the question you're asking can only be answered, I think, in terms of outcomes. If you're still seeing students who are achieving the standards required, if they're passing the exams and making the grade, then it's a brilliant thing. The difficulty that's going to be is that the lecturers are going to have to prepare the content ahead of time. They're going to have to sit in front of a camera with their computer screen, doing the graphics, doing whatever kind of prep work is required ahead of the lecture. The good thing is, once you've done that once, you can reuse it as many times as you like. Once you've actually got the material prepared, then suddenly that work is done, it's ready, and now you can let the computer do the hard work of presenting the information to the students. You're now doing the interpersonal stuff, which is where serious learning will happen.
And that's what I'm interested in. Does this allow for that? Does the fact that the professor might actually not be there at the time prevent the kind of interaction that you're talking about? Although it used to be fairly limited in many lecture theatres, didn't it? A bit more in tutorials. Does it still allow that kind of interaction between the students, each other, and also the teacher, or is that going to be the disadvantage, that kind of learning and being that involved is what it can't provide?
Well, see, it depends on which context we're talking about here. I've been through the American and the British systems, and the American system tends not to focus too much on the tutorial way of teaching. What's going to happen with the system, with this flipped education system they're talking about quite a lot in the US at the moment, is that basically the lecture will be moved out of the timetabled lecture theatre slot. And as a result, what's happening in the lecture time is going to more closely resemble the tutorial experience. So they're actually adding a new dimension within the context of the American approach. If we stick, say, with the British or New Zealand way of doing it, we do have that tutorial system, then suddenly what we're doing is, if we do it right, one possible way would be to have the lecture done outside lecture time, something along the lines of a tutorial during the lecture time, and then if we're smart, we'll still keep the tutorials and we'll really be able to take advantage of the system well.
Okay, so this guy's left Stanford to set up this outfit. The fact he's given it a title like Udacity puts me straight off him already, but anyway, he'll be talking about learnings next, then I won't be back. But anyway, is someone else offering courses like this? Are there others heading down the same track?
Oh, there's loads. Udacity is one of the big ones, simply because it's got the backing of somebody with Sebastian Thrun's credentials. I mean, the guy was quite big in Stanford, which right there in the US sets him as being somebody worth listening to. There's been a few others. There's another very notable name is a fellow named Salman Khan, who has got more degrees than any one person realistically needs to have from various prestigious universities. And he found himself being asked to tutor people, among family and friends. And he suddenly realised it would be more efficient if he started making little videos of this and handing them out to his friends so he wouldn't have to keep repeating himself. This has now grown into something called the Khan Academy. And he has headed this up. He's produced many of these himself. They've got, I believe, over 30,000. They call them micro videos or micro tutorials, largely available on YouTube or via his website. And these are accessible to anybody who just wants a little bit of extra tutoring, primarily in maths and sciences, but they're starting to expand out now into the humanities as well. So if you want a very quick 5-minute overview of Faraday's equations, nip over to Khan Academy, take a quick look at that, and you'll find them. And you'll see a very quick 5-minute presentation of how Faraday's equations work. It's very, very nicely done. That's a very, very isolated bit. Like I say, it's not leading toward any kind of structured course. If you look at places like, for example, one of my personal favourites is an organisation called Code Academy. And what they're doing is they're trying to encourage people to learn how to write computer code. We're going to tie this back into technology here, definitely. They're trying to encourage people to write computer code. And so they've got a programme going on called Code Year, which I very, very nobly signed up for back at the start of the year. And unfortunately, have run into the big issue with this kind of thing of timetabling. I just haven't been able to keep up with it. But what they're doing is they're offering this thing called Code Year. Every week, they put out a new lesson, which takes the next step in learning to write, in this particular instance, JavaScript computer code. It's the code that underpins a lot of websites. And the idea is that if you follow the Code Year, by the end of the year, you will be a moderately accomplished JavaScript programmer. So there's quite a few people offering this. Yeah, it's definitely a great way to start democratizing learning and education. And as we've said, at the moment, it's largely by geeks for geeks. It's staying, to begin with, largely in the computer science area. But there is absolutely no reason why you shouldn't go an awful lot wider than that.
I think we've got some links on all of these things you've mentioned today. Thanks very much for that. Steve McCabe, technology commentator.